May the Lord's Spirit be upon my lips. Well, Daniel, you're about to enter an unusual community. One of the things which distinguishes the community of Christ and this church from the world in which we live is the way we act towards each other and the demands made upon us in that life. The lessons that we heard today really speak to this. The first lesson, which is from the book of Deuteronomy, from one of the first five books of the Old Testament, says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, so that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your ancestors, as He is doing today. If you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to worship them, I solemnly warn you that you shall perish." The lesson that we heard in the Gospel today, which is out of the book of Matthew, I'd like to put this in a little bit of context, is from what was called the year of popularity for Jesus. This is the second year of His ministry. The last year is called the year of opposition, and this is when the powers that be rose up against Him because of the radical nature of the message which He was preaching. The year of popularity was the year in which this message was being heard largely by the poor, largely by those who were disrespected, largely by those not in positions of power. And during that year of popularity, He was followed literally by thousands of people and delivered His message to those thousands. This particular passage in Matthew comes from a group of chapters, 5, 6, and 7, which are commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And this passage is from near the end of that. What's interesting about this passage is if you listen to it, it begins with the word therefore. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your wealth, about how you will be fed, and so on. The therefore is very important because what it indicates to us is that something came before this. This is a conclusion. It's as if someone were to say, if you want to be a country singer, therefore go to Nashville. Right? What you don't want to do, what I don't want to do, is take just the therefore go to Nashville out of context, because all of us would end up going to Nashville. And really, the point here is, what does the therefore come from? What's behind it? If we back up a little bit earlier on in the passage, earlier on in the chapter, we'll get some sense of the direction that Jesus is pointing us. Just three verses before, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then, just a little bit later, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." In the King James, this is always said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." This is always great confusion because none of us knew what mammon meant. And in the original, the idea here is both wealth, sometimes it's translated money. It can also be translated profession, which is an interesting perspective on this. Really what Jesus is saying is, do not be obsessed by, do not be consumed by your profession, by striving for wealth. Do not let that be your God. It brings us back to the point made in Deuteronomy, worshiping other gods. If we worship wealth or even our profession, we are taken away from the one we should be worshiping, from the God who is our only God. What's interesting here is that Jesus consistently, as he does here, turns the world upside down for us. And this gives us perhaps some insight into that year of popularity. The message that he was giving was not the norm by which people were measured in those days. In other words, those things which the world honored, which it said were important and which made people respectable or exalted, were not the things which Jesus said we ought to exalt. He turned it upside down. In fact, if you remember the story of the widow in the synagogue and the rich people who came before her and put lots of money into the offering, And then the widow came along and put in 2 mites. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a mite. This is an actual widow's mite. This is a real one. It's a little bitty piece of copper. If you'd like to see this after the service is over, I'll be happy to show it to you. But this is the actual sort of item that the widow put in. This is 2,000 years old, and it's just a little tiny piece of copper with a stamp on it, worth less than a penny. Even today, these are only worth $10, which shows you after 2,000 years, a coin like this, how worthless it was 2,000 years ago. And yet Jesus says, the widow who put 2 mites into the offering was valued more highly by God than those who put in vast sums, but for whom it was only a tiny portion of what they owned. Because what Jesus said is the widow gave everything she had, and that was what God honored. So God honors richness of heart, not the richness of the pocket, and the way that richness of heart is played out. In Luke, there is a parallel to the passage of the Sermon on the Mount. Many of the same teachings of Jesus are repeated there. One of them, which does not appear in Matthew, but which is an important insight into what Jesus is saying here, is this. This is, again, Jesus tells a parable, and he says, the land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Again, Jesus has turned the equations of the world upside down. St. Ambrose, for whom this church is named, referring to this passage, said, the barns are the storehouses which last forever are the bosoms of the poor, the houses of the widows, and the mouths of hungry children. Really, what is being said here is we share. That's what this community does. It shares with itself, it shares with those in need, and it shares to extremes that are unheard of by the normal judgments of the world. The early Christian community clearly understood this. In the very early years when services like the one we have today were first conducted, regularly an offering was brought up. And this is a tradition which we're beginning again today at St. Ambrose, where all of the members of the congregation, when they got together early on Sunday morning, often before light broke, they gathered together to worship in a small room, typically hidden because they were under persecution, so that the authorities would not know where they were. They brought in food for the offering. They brought in bread and grain and wine, and all of that food was put together in baskets, and at the offering was brought up to the altar. At that point, the priest, although it was called a bishop in those days, would separate out from that basket of food which was being brought in. This was being brought in for the needy, for those who did not have sufficient food. It was brought up to the altar, and then the priest would pull out of that basket some bread and some wine. And it was that bread and that wine which were then used for communion in the course of that service. The priest would then wash, or the bishop at that point, would wash his hands, which you still see in our service today, place the bread and wine on the altar, and then begin the service of communion. That service of communion, when you hear the words repeated from the Last Supper, and Jesus raises the glass and it says, gives thanks. The word gives thanks, or thanksgiving, in that communion service is the word Eucharist. And that's why we call the service today Holy Eucharist. And it is not just the sharing of the bread and wine in communion. It is the entire service which is giving thanks. It is our recognition that what we have was given to us by God, not by our power and not by our might, but by God as a gift from God. And when we come together in Eucharist to give thanks, what we do is we share of our abundance. We share from the richness of our hearts with those who are less able or less or more needy than ourselves. That is the sharing which is called upon us. The storehouses, which are the bosoms of the poor, the houses of the widows, and the mouths of the hungry children. Amen.